Thanks, Derek. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for those readings. And we ask that as we think about them, you would encourage us, inspire us to respond as you would have us do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So after a little break during the summer, we're coming back to a series we started in the spring called Life in the Spirit. Previously, we looked at who the Holy Spirit is and how we can invite him into our lives and what difference that will make. And this week and next week, we've got a mini-series of two, and we're dipping into the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit endows on each one of us, and how, equipped with these gifts, we're each called to make a difference in the world. So to begin this second mini-series, we ask the question, what do we mean when we talk about spiritual gifts? Well, to illustrate it, I was thinking about one of my great pleasures is playing the drums in a band. I absolutely love doing that. But when I started, I learnt to play on my own in my study at college, much to the humour of my residents either side of me, I'm sure. But then sometimes later I got a tutor and I started to learn how to play properly, still making lots of mistakes, of course, but trying things out. But I was still pretty much on my own. Then one memorable day, I was invited to join a group of fellow students to play music together. I can remember it now, it was in someone's house, and we began just jamming together. And for a few brief moments, just occasionally in that evening, when everything absolutely came together, we made a wonderful combined sound. Or so it felt from where I was sat anyway, at the back with the drums. But the thing is, often the drummer is looked down on, aren't they? We aren't the real musicians. You think about Animal in the Muppets, don't you? Or you think about Ringo in the Beatles. The guitarists and the pianists, they're the ones with the real skill. People like Emma and Ryan and David, who are up here this morning. And poor old Andy and I sat at the back on the drums. It's slightly different for us. But then occasionally, just occasionally, comes along a song that really needs a drummer to start it off. Think about We Will Rock You or Holy, Holy, Holy. And then finally, the rest of the band acknowledges that even we need a decent drummer if the band is to flourish. In fact, we all need each other just as much. When St. Paul wrote the words that Derek read earlier, he was confronting this type of thing in his church in Corinth. You see, some Christians thought that they were superior to others. And in musical terms, the Corinthian church was playing out of balance, out of tune. But Paul then restates the Christian values. Yes, we are all given different types of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but we are serving the same Lord. Yes, we all have different instruments, but they all require musicianship. There are different styles of playing, but they are all following the same conductor. There are different tones, but it's the same composer. And his creativity, the composer's creativity, shines through in the performance. Paul was worried that some members were looking down their noses at others. Maybe those with the gift of leadership or prayer were looking down their noses at those with more practical gifts like hospitality or welcome. Maybe those with more obviously supernatural gifts like prophecy or speaking in tongues were feeling superior to those with more practical gifts of administration. And it's true, isn't it, that in our current culture, where maybe we're less spiritually expectant, spiritual encounters can be thought of as supernatural or special, the exception to the rule, something to be suspicious about. We can worry about encounters or gifts that find their origin in the Holy Spirit. But Paul says an amazing thing. He says, we can't even make the statement, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is Lord is probably the most basic statement of our faith, isn't it? It's what each one of us acknowledges when we become Christians, when we surrender our lives to Christ. So Paul says that every Christian has therefore already been brought to this point by the Holy Spirit. So if we're Christians, we've already experienced the Holy Spirit. And in Paul's time, this was especially important, because anyone who said Jesus is Lord was risking a lot, because they were also saying, and Caesar isn't. Because the Romans believed that Caesar was God. Caesar was divine. So as they said Jesus is Lord, the Christians were entering a social and political battlefield. They were starting to change the world. And Paul is saying to us that the gifts provided by the Holy Spirit enable us to advance God's kingdom in the face of the rulers and powers of the world. And most importantly, Paul is saying that every Christian has spiritual gifts which were called to contribute to the life of the church. Paul is painting the picture of a church where every member has something important to contribute. Today we tend to use the phrase every member ministry sometimes, don't we? In other words, every one of us has a role to play. To paraphrase As You Like It, which I saw a couple of weeks ago in Cambridge, in the rain some of the time, God's kingdom is a stage, and all the people players on it. We all have our exits and entrances, and each person is gifted to play their part. Paul says, you're the body of Christ. Each one of you has a part to play in it. Each one of you is a part of this body. And the word part translates as member, not like members of a club where you drift in one week and don't bother going the next, but as in dismembered. If any one of us doesn't play our part, the body isn't actually whole. This is serious business in Paul's eyes. We are the body of Christ. The church is the place where together we learn how to be God's authentic human beings, followers of Jesus, worshiping God and serving him, using the gifts he gave us and reflecting his image in the world. And Paul reminds us that our baptism is a public sign of this filling of the Holy Spirit, which is going on inside of us. And baptism is open to every Christian. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, and becoming part of the body is a visceral, real community experience. I remember when I first started work, I was in London, before I'd identified a dentist, and as a result of having a hairless toothbrush for most of my childhood, I got terrible toothache for several days, actually. And if you've ever had that experience, you won't need reminding just how all-consuming the pain can suddenly become. I took some pain-killing tablets, but they didn't really help. I walked around the house, hoping that by exercising the other parts of the body, the tooth would settle down. I tried to read an exciting book to take my mind off it, but of course I couldn't concentrate. I rang my mum for some sympathy. I remember the phone call now, and it was quite nice, but it didn't really help. And when finally the dentist sorted me out, and of course he pulled the tooth out, because this was the 1970s, I was at last able to sleep. It was as though my whole body, not just the wretched tooth, had given an enormous sigh of relief. This is what St. Paul means about being the body of Christ. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with them. This is what being a member of Christ's body means. On the plus side, when our ears enjoy music, it seems as though our whole self is caught up in it, doesn't it? When our face enjoys warm sunshine, it seems to penetrate through the entire body. And in tough times, the hand will be there to bandage the injured foot, and the foot there to rush the injured head to hospital. You see, Paul is eager that we at St. Mary's understand that every one of us in the Christian family matters as much as every other one of us, and we're all gifted by the Holy Spirit. And across his letters in the New Testament, St. Paul gives quite a long list of spiritual gifts. It includes caring, healing, helping, service to society and to others, showing mercy, leadership, teaching, preaching, sharing our faith with other people, just having faith, offering wisdom, prophecy, knowing something directly from God, interpreting and speaking in tongues, different languages that some Christians seem to be given to pray, administration, thankfully, prayer, hospitality, encouragement. All these are gifts of the Spirit, and each one of us in this room has one of those gifts. It's quite a portfolio of gifts, isn't it? And all of us have one, at least, maybe two or maybe more. And we're called to contribute to the rich, diverse life of God's people. Now, we might think that some of these gifts are quite normal, like teaching or administration, whilst others look a bit more charismatic, like speaking in tongues or prophesying. But in fact, all these gifts are special to God and simple. Because charismatic simply means special spiritual gift from God. It's a gift from God, and we can't do anything about it except receive it and use it. And for that reason, each spiritual gift, whatever it's like, is equally valuable and equally vital to the church, because these are gifts through which God establishes and builds up the kingdom. The gifts that you have received are God's gift to the whole church through you. And until you bring it, the church is poorer. God gives gifts to different people in such a way that the church will be united in love and service to the community and the world. And we're each given these gifts, and it's up to each of us to respond, to discover what our gifts are, and then to put them to use. If we look at our second reading, Jesus' parable in Matthew 24, there are three servants who are given three different gifts. And the first and the second servants, if you remember, put them to good use. And the benefits are clear when the master returns to find out what they've done. The third servant, however, just decided to bury his and dig it up when the master returned. He didn't trust the master, you see. He didn't play his part in the common endeavor. And the benefits of his gift were lost to everyone. And the consequences for him were not great. He was thrown out. I just want to deal with that for a moment, because that sounds quite harsh, doesn't it? But let's remember, because when Jesus speaks of the servant being thrown into the darkness outside, where people weep and grind their teeth, we need to remember that Jesus himself is the one who is thrown into that darkness, where even he would feel abandoned by God. He's already been through that on our behalf. He went there so that you and I wouldn't have to. So Jesus has our back, and because by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, we have each other's backs, which is good news. So there is nothing to fear. God's gifts are freely given, and we are encouraged to be like the two in this parable who accepted their gifts and used them well. God's grace and generosity abounds. We simply need to respond. So what I'd like to do now is just to give us an opportunity for a few minutes to respond. I don't know if you'd like to, but sometimes I find when I am doing business with God, it's good to kind of change the way I'm sitting. I don't want to be found slouching in Parliament like one or two people this week. So if you want to respond and if you want to pray, can I invite you to stand and to hold out your hands in front of you? If you'd like to do that, please, please do. I'll be joining you in the same way. So should we give God a little space in our lives? Should we invite him through his Holy Spirit to speak to us a little bit now? maybe like the first two servants in that parable, we are ready to surrender ourselves and to put our gifts to God's service. Maybe we're ready to ask God what gifts that he has given us and to receive them from him. Come, Holy Spirit, and encourage us to discover our gifts. Maybe we simply want to say thank you as we stand among this group of people, everyone of which is gifted by God. Maybe we want to thank God that we're part of such a body, the church. Maybe we want to thank him for the way people have used their gifts to benefit us. Thank you, Father. And as we discover our gifts, maybe we want to commit ourselves to using them. Maybe where we work, maybe in our homes, maybe in our families, maybe in the marketplace, maybe in the care home, maybe in the church. Father, as we discover what you've given us, help us to use what you've given us, wherever we are. For your sake. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our hearts, into our minds. We welcome the gifts that you give us. We long to use them for your glory. Amen. Before we move into song, I'd just like to say a couple of things. In our home groups over the next couple of weeks, there is material for us all to use, questions for us to ask, things for us to discuss about the gifts of the Spirit. So if you're part of a home group or want to be part of a home group, please join in with that. Also, there's a leaflet which I'll be offering to anybody who wants one on the way out. There's some on the middle table as well, called Discovering My Gifts. And in it is a short exercise where you can get a bit of a clue of what the sort of gifts are that God's given you. So please, if you'd like to discover your gifts and want to do that exercise, please take one of these. And there's also, we've put inside there a pullout, which you can bring back, where you can list the gifts that that this exercise kind of brings up. And if you want to put it in the offering box or in the office, then one of us in the leadership team will contact you and have a little chat and talk that through with you if you'd like to do that. Or you could do that in your home group as well. So please do take one of those and use the pull-out sheet to then discuss how you might use your gifts either at work or at play or in church. And then finally, there's the leaflet briefly talks about this book, David Pitch's Come Holy Spirit. We happen to have about 12 lying around, I think, on the middle table. So if you want to take one, read it and bring it back, then please do. It's quite an old book, but it's still very pertinent today on this subject. Should we worship?